The following podcast gimmick has been paid for by Look at the Adjective.
Strangeways, here we come. Hello and welcome to Look at the Adjective. We are here to podcast. Finally! I am Rowdy Johnny Mac, and I'm joined as always by a man who rubs shoulders with the elite of the cartoon world, a man who will happily strap on a pair of mouse ears for pleasure, a man who has the balls to ask Donald Duck why he wears a t-shirt but nothing on his bottom half. He's Mr. Magic Kingdom. It's Mickey Mark Crowther. How are you doing, Sunshine?
Good, mate. Fresh off my travels, aren't I? No, I'm good. How are you doing, pal?
Did you enjoy the Magic Kingdom?
It's brilliant. Yeah, it's fantastic. Got to just enjoy that inner child in you, don't you? That's what I mean. Got to enjoy yourself a little bit sometimes, don't you?
No comment.
No, it was good, mate. How are you doing? It's been a while, hasn't it, since we've... been on the Adjective trail.
It has. We've not even put out the Go Home show yet through all sorts of fucking mad shit that we just couldn't help. Malfunctioning issues, holidays, illness. Yeah, I think people have forgot who we are.
Yeah, but it'll be out by the time you listen to this, won't it?
I should hope so, because this will be out after this, hopefully.
The timelines are all mixed up. We need someone to clean them up.
But what I've missed most, other than talking bullshit with you for a couple of hours, is the morons that make up this world, especially the wrestling world.
Many of them.
So we are going to drive down the Moron Motorway, take a left at Simpleton Street, all the way to the cretinous cul-de-sac. It's cretin of the month slash week. We're just going to do a quick run through of what we've missed in the last month. We have missed some absolute belters. We've missed John Cena having an OnlyFans page.
Have you seen some of them clips? They're quite funny, actually.
Yep. We've also missed Sting saying that the Crow Sting was not influenced by the movie The Crow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course it wasn't, pal.
We've also missed the 10 million year Mercedes Monet chatter.
That's outrageous, isn't it?
It is, but I think it's massive bollocks as well.
Yeah. I reckon she's on a fucking fair whack, though, aren't you? Bloody hell.
Oh, yeah. And we've also missed the classic Dave Meltzer, AEW is not liked by poor people, only rich people.
Oh, yeah. That's hilarious, that one. What does that even mean?
It means that Dave Meltzer's a bellend, really.
Yeah. He was getting called out by, well, not necessarily him in per se, but his company, or whatever they're called, Wrestling Observer. The Rock was calling them out the other day. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Seen that. Yeah. And we'll start with that. Oh, David Meltzer and his Wrestling Observer News have put out saying that TKO would like The Rock to follow and set a good example, its guidelines of TVPG product. However, many feel the double standards of the Vince McMahon era are back. Oh, Dwayne Johnson's put underneath it. This story is complete horseshit. So there you go.
Just confirming everything we knew.
Well done, Davey Meltzer, for another esteemed journalistic win there.
Yeah, I mean, he's not known for his integrity, is he?
No. But we'll move on to another small one, because I think you've got the main event there, I think.
Yeah, I have actually, but we'll get to that, yeah.
So next up, seeing as his guts are fucked, old Kenneth Omega's been making his making himself known on the internet, on Twitch, rating matches.
I've seen
not
that,
only
yeah.
Davey Meltzer, not only Davey Meltzer, he's going to be the five-star king now, and he doesn't think five-star matches should be given out so willy-nilly. unless he's in them, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Or the bookers. But apparently he rated Kurt Angle versus Rey Mysterio at SummerSlam 2002, 4.5 stars. And old Davey Meltzer only rated it 3.75. So,
well, anything above four.
Anything above bonus, four. Exactly. Staying in the topic of AEW, old Corner and Muslim, Edge and Christian, had a bit of a do the other week, and you pointed this out to me, and I thought it was unbelievably stupid. So they're having a fight in the sin bin of a ice hockey arena.
Yeah.
And Edge, like, sort of puts a Boston Bruins hockey top over Christian's head, who then proceeds to, of his own volition, puts it on.
When I saw it, I just thought, that's like all the good stuff Christian's done over the last year or so. Like, it's almost goes out the window for something as stupid as that.
Yeah, I think the Christian, your dad's dead gimmicks probably, you know, had its day now. But yeah, don't put a hockey top on like willingly and then, you know, proceed to get swatted by someone else in a Toronto Maple Leafs top. Yeah.
Yeah, it was garbage. Absolutely garbage.
Another small one. Oh, Ryback tracks on. He's there.
Oh, Ryback track. What's he done now?
He's just turned into an absolute conspiracy theorist. It's funny as fuck.
I never thought he had that in him.
Well, not many people are viewing his tweets, and it can't be because nobody gives a fuck. I mean, it's got to be because he's being, you know, suppressed.
Yeah, so, that's what it is.
So he's come out with this. That's it. How come none of my tweets are seen by a large portion of my 1.35 million followers? How come posts about me by others get massive views and responses, but I can't get the same on my own account? It's because you're shit, mate. How come I've got more followers than any active regular wrestler on TV, on TikTok, but yet have been dead here since not signing an NDA to WWE's Vince McMahon to give them my Twitter account and other socials? Elon Musk, how come you tell me I'm suppressed, but you say you can't help me? If you follow me and see this, please like, share, and comment. Thank you. Hashtag hungry.
It's just waffling, that, isn't it? It's just the ramblings of a madman.
It doesn't get that no one gives a fuck about him anymore.
Did anyone ever give a fuck about him? Even when he was wrestling, really?
For about 6 months, maybe, but
when he was the new Goldberg.
Yeah, he was just a McMahon wet dream, wasn't he?
Yeah, big steroid junkie. Okay, the steroid also, guy, as Punk calls him.
Punk says, yeah. Speaking of what we missed out on as well, which we forgot to add, because it's only fair, you know, we rip one side for it, we've got to rip the other. The no-sell sitting on the fence of old Helmsley when asked about the Vince McMahon stuff at the press conference. We forgot about that one. You know, we ripped Tony Khan for it when he was asked about Chrissy Jezza. So we can all, you know, shocking, you know, you've got to...
Yeah, got to take it head on,
maybe because his wife's implicated in it now, apparently, so...
Yeah.
And Nick Khan. So.
Well, are they still together? I heard they were separated. I don't know if that's
who, Helmsley and Stephanie.
Yeah, I heard that rumor.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Not sure how true it is, but it was a rumor that was going around. I think
you'd think if he had anything about him, he'd want to get the fuck away from that family. To be fair,
well, he's got what he wanted, hasn't he? He's got the company. He's got control.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you. Let's not fuck about with Helmsley. He's played an absolute blinder.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. He's played the long game, hasn't he? And he's bloody won.
He really has. He's gone for it. He's thought, I'm sitting back and I'm watching this all unfold. I've been the most fence-sitting bastard. And, you know, I can tell you who's going for that next, Cody Rhodes. Going for it. Loving it.
Yeah, probably.
He's following the Helmsley trajectory.
Yeah, but but Rock sort of... put a spanner in the works, Aaron. He's sort of in the board and stuff now. What's his level of control like? Because it looks like he's got a lot of A lot of power in that world of TKO, whatever it's called.
We'll have to see, won't we?
Big power struggle. Was there? Did you have any other little small ones? Or
I did. I'm afraid. The Dis Bros are back,
bro.
Bro. Firstly, he comes out with an apology. Oh, Vince
Russo. Before you start, I'm going to enjoy listening to that theme song again. I haven't heard it in a while.
You don't even leave enough of a gap for me to slide it in, you twat, before you start talking. So, old Vince Russo had Al Snow, who is a bit of a plum as well, on his YouTube channel, and he's come out to apologise because the headline was Al Snow buries Ronda Rousey. And he's come out saying, oh, to apologise. Al didn't really bury Ronda Rousey. He just addressed her comments. Bad choice of words. My bad. Apologise. It's like, you're a clickbait fucking nightmare.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, of course he did. Of course he did. He's an absolute dick. Honestly, I just don't understand how he still is allowed. Well, not even allowed, but how people still sort of follow the guy and, you know, justify his existence.
Fuck knows. I don't understand him. I don't understand the appeal of anyone that willingly listens to him.
Sadly, he's been a bit more cretinous. So, old Val Venus.
Oh God.
Notorious on this channel for his just batshit crazy, ignorant, homophobic, transphobic, racist, whatever the fuck he is. He's everything. So Russo's put out, I need 26 subscribers now to get to 50,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel. Val Venus, who, you know, is the right-wing moral majority now, but still goes by the name Val Venus, which rhymes with penis, even though, you know, is, you know, some right-wing nut job. And I know Russo's a right-wing nut job and he's a fundamentalist Christian and all this shit, but if he had anything about him, he wouldn't be endorsing this prick. So Val Venus has put, subscribe to the man's channel, and Russo's giving it, thank you, my friend. And Val is like, anytime, bro, you are creating some fantastic content. And it's like, he's watching these two MAGA lunatics. It's like, Russo, he's just not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Even if you are mates with him and you believe what he says.
He's a bit hot right now. Leave off.
No sell him. Yeah. Just ignore him. Just text him and say, Valerie, you know. maybe in a couple of months when the heat's died down. Fuck me. But what, just don't endorse people like him. He's an absolute bellend. I mean, Russo's a ginormous bellend himself, but I've not heard Russo make, you know, outrageous. Well, I've already heard him make outrageous statements, but not on the level of Val Venus, and it's just don't associate.
His is more wrestling rubbish, isn't it? More than anything, but Val Venus has gone very
personal. QAnon.
Yeah, and political statements, whatever you want to call them. It's pretty dark stuff.
Yeah, really bad. But that's the end of the Dis Bros this week, because Gilbert has just been retweeting baseball. He had a look.
He was on, I don't know if you know, he was on that Chris Van Vliet the other week.
Who?
Gilbert.
Oh, God.
He was talking about his illustrious career. I didn't notice anything outrageous pop up. Yeah, I just noticed he was on it, so I might have to give that a whirl one time. See if there's any gems in there.
I think the outrage is more someone actually invited him on a show to talk about his career.
Yeah, he was talking about how he was, you know, the only big guy never to be, the only guy that would never went to WWF. That was the one thing I remember from it.
Yeah, but after WCW folded, where the fuck did he go? Nowhere. From fuck Indies, knows. Probably. It's not because he was like, you know, oh, I'm not going to sell out and go there. It's like, they didn't fucking want you, mate. Nobody ever wanted you. You shit.
I don't know. Did he go to TNA, maybe?
He might have done, actually. Yeah, probably. I forgot about TNA. That's very possible, because Russo was...
He was booking it, wasn't he, for ages? So.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So who's the main event? It's got to be big. It's got to be big.
Yeah, I mean, it pains me to say it because I'm a big fan of the geezer, but he's had a stinker the last couple of weeks, his old Booker.
You know what? When it's somebody we like, it is shit, but we still have to call it out. Go on, what's all the Booker man done?
Well, it's wrestling based, but it's fueling something that it's poor from him, I think. Basically, he's got a podcast. I think it's called Hall of Fame, I think, with some random geezer he does it with. I don't know who he is. And he basically... No, it's not him. Some other guy, I don't know who he is. He just sort of flippantly... They were just randomly chatting. And he just sort of, off the cuff, just sort of went, you know, I was down in NXT. Because I know he does that commentary for NXT, doesn't he? And he went, me and CM Punk got into it the other day. I'm not going to, you know, it got a bit hot and all this. And he was just like, and then he just sort of dropped it. And then obviously knowing what's gone on in the last 12 months, 18 months with CM Punk, the frenzy starts. Oh, is it started again? Is a bit of backstage fracas, you know, is a bit of little coming together. Sake. It was sort of the usual suspects, the Sean Ross Sapps, the fucking Alvarezes, they all, you know, went to NXT or WWF to comment, and they were all going, "We don't know what's got on here. He's always seemed cordial. He's been there to help the younger talent and stuff like that." Which, to be fair, you've seen a few little bits of that on the YouTube channel. He's been down to NXT training with them, giving out advice and stuff. And then Booker came on his next podcast going, "I don't know what all the fuss was about. You know, I never said anything. I just said that we got into it backstage at NXT and all this." And it's like, Booker, you know, you knew your words were going to do that. It was just like, it hasn't turned into anything, but it could have been really harmful because it feeds into that sort of agenda, doesn't it? And it's just like,
Define got into it. Do you know what I mean?
He just flippantly said it, like, without any context, and it just fuels that rumor mill, and he's gone, "Oh, I don't know why anyone's commenting about it." It's like, you knew people were going to comment about it, mate. He's probably the most talked about guy in the entire industry other than The Rock or, you know, Cody Rhodes or whatever. And it's just like, it was just quite poor from him. I mean, it was just really tone deaf. And he just sort of didn't really, he just didn't need to do it. And I just felt like it was quite poor from him, which is a shame because I like the geezer. I think he's mint, but it's rare that he does anything like that. But
he's got that in his locker, though, aren't he, making a verbal slip up?
yeah, that's true. It's a good point. I think when you're sort of on a platform like that, you've got to be careful because the amount of people that could just clip that up and then you're away. Then there's days of rumors and content and what have you. But luckily, it didn't really turn into anything because he sort of squashed it. But I just thought it was rather cretinous from Booker, unfortunately, which is a shame because I like him.
Yeah, me too. Big fan. Credit of the week, Booker T, I'm afraid. Sorry, Booker. Yeah. However,
it's rare that he's going to pop up on there, I think.
Well, you think so. You hope so.
Yeah.
Because we don't have to sort of be berating a guy we like. But berating guys we used to like is our bread and butter, mate. It's another Woo Watch. Woo! So he started his week called Ricky Flair.
He's been busy.
Doing push-ups in the gym. Or so it seemed. The caption is, "The pain you feel today will be the strength you feel tomorrow." However, he's not actually doing push-ups. I mean, let's bear in mind he's 75, maybe, I think.
Yeah.
He's got some guy with like a weight belt under his chest and he's lifting him up as he's doing these push-ups. It's like, I get that you probably can't do push-ups anymore, Rick, but don't put it on fucking social media because it looks ridiculous.
It looks stupid, doesn't it?
And then his next one, because we know he's a fan of posting pictures of his daughters in next to nothing.
Yeah.
Congratulations to my beautiful daughter, Megan, who is, turns out, not only has she married Conrad Thompson, fuck's sake, she's now a female bodybuilder. And oh, God. It looks like hot dog skin stretched over a corpse.
It really does.
It's not a nice flattering photo. And Conrad Thompson, like, because I remember seeing her and she was quite on the chunky side, which, yeah. You know, big fan, you yeah. know, like a bit of foam yeah. rubber. And she's married Conrad Thompson, who's like the epitome of a human teddy bear or human waterbed. I don't know, whichever. I can't really say now. I am a man of, you know, weight too. But it's more the obsession of him posting his daughters in their underwear and loving it.
Yeah, he loves it, doesn't he? Did it with Charlotte. He's done it with Charlotte many a time.
The squeezy bum Andrade thing as well. Love that.
Yeah. I tell you what's weird, that whole Andrade Charlotte thing. Because you almost think, you always hear these rumours that they've split up and then it all goes quiet. Oh, yeah. And then they're all lovey-dovey again. So it must be weird, that relationship, because he can barely speak a word of the Queen's, can he?
No, but he can knock the shit out of a burrito quicker than he can say El Paso, mate.
If anyone gets that reference, it'll be brilliant.
Paraphrased, but, you know,
yeah,
still.
Yeah, on the right lines.
He's not done there, old Ricky.
No.
He puts a video of, let me try and think of the preferred nomenclature for this. Little person. So there's a video of a little person, and this little person's walking.
I thought you called them minis.
That's in a wrestling context. This guy is no wrestler. He's in jogging bottoms and a sweatshirt, and he looks like he's got an absolute hog on him.
Well, he's got a bike.
Right? Walks on. No. He looks like he's got a massive penis. He walks up to the camera and pulls out a kind of Ric Flair fucking woo energy.
What, stuff down his trousers?
Stuff down his kecks. And it's not like retweeted or anything. This is from Ric Flair himself. And it just says, "We can all dare to dream, lad." Or whatever.
Jesus.
If I had a knob like a can of fucking energy drink, I'd be worried. That's some serious girth.
Yeah.
It's like a wrist. Like a baby's arm holding an apple.
Some blokes do. I certainly don't.
No. And I'm in the wrong line of work if I did. So. But he ends his week with a new advert for Woo Energy, because he's going hard on that. He's got a picture of him from 1992, circa Royal Rumble win, in a pink robe. And it just says, and I think we all need a bit of this in our life, "Big Rick Energy."
For fuck's sake.
He's fucking shameless. He's absolutely shameless.
Is he, you know, obviously, because the whole Sting thing's done, what's his role with AEW now? Is that done now? Is that his run done? Or what? Like,
no, he signed that optimistic multi-year deal, didn't he?
Multi-year deal to do what?
Fuck knows.
You can't fucking talk
and promote his dog shit. No, he can't.
Do you remember a few months back where he did that promo and there was that massive pressure for him to cut it on, was it Rampage? Do you remember that? He said some really dodgy stuff about, like, 18-year-old.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly what it was, but...
No, I don't really want to remember exactly what it was.
I don't know if we mentioned it at the time, but yeah, it's just popped in my head for some reason.
I'm pretty sure we did. Yeah, it's Ricky Flair based. We've probably had a wee on it.
Yeah, good point.
We'll have to go back and listen. But yeah, so Ricky's been busy. Booker's been a muppet. We missed some top-tier creativity from Meltzer, Cena. Sort of funny, that Cena one.
Yeah.
And the usual suspects.
Yeah, definitely. But, it's been good to get back on it.
Certainly has. And sure, there's more to come down the line, as always. Never fail to disappoint. But we're here. We're at the pay-per-view. We're at the Rock of Alcatraz off San Francisco Bay. The one we've all been waiting for. We are going to the Cow Palace, San Francisco, California, 23rd of February, 1997, for Super Brawl 7.
Time to pay the piper now. I didn't spend 7 days in hell for nothing. And Hogan, you're an extinction. You're an endangered species. Now get that thing out of my face. Goodbye! San Francisco! Hogan, I be your date! Sharks. My sharks. I'm coming! And I'm bringing Alcatraz to you!
And all the way here to the Cow Palace in San Francisco, we await the arrival of Rowdy Roddy Piper for the biggest world title match this sport has ever seen. We are at the Cow Palace. We are sold out. They are jammed to the rafters in San Francisco, California, as Rowdy Roddy Piper and Hollywood Hulk Hogan get ready to battle for the world heavyweight title. I'm Tony Schiavone, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Bobby the Brain Heenan are with us, and Dream. Piper's been locked in there for 7 days and seven nights, and we got a glimpse of how prepared he is when he arrives to this arena here tonight. All hell is going to break loose.
Well, I think it already has. We've seen him go into Alcatraz Penitentiary, live through pain, blues, and agony. Got to put aside the emotional thing that he has in his mind about his family. Get ready for the war of his life, his last shot at the world's heavyweight title.
How about it, Brain?
Well, I'm just hearing a news bulletin. Now I have good news and bad news. The bad news is there has been an escape from Alcatraz. Rowdy Roddy Piper is loose, but you don't have to lock your doors or put away the animals or the kids, because word is he is headed directly for Hollywood. Yeah. Think about that.
Yeah, you don't have to lock your doors unless you're Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Of course, Piper and Hogan, one of many title matches here tonight. Our first title match is for the WCW Cruiserweight Championship, feature the man who's the champion but no longer owns the belt, Dean Malenko.
So it starts off, old Piper, he's been locked in Alcatraz for a week, and he's being let out. What on the fucking God's earth is this?
It's fucking mental, isn't it, the way they start it off.
Torn T-shirt, week-old stubble, looks fucking maniacal.
It looks mental.
He knows his way out, though.
Yeah, he knows his foot. Yeah, he knows all the way, all the exits.
And then just goes off his fucking head. And he runs pretty fast for a bloke who's had a hip replacement. I'll give him that. And then he's going on like, it's time to pay the piper. Hogan's an endangered species. It sort of worked, but it was off its head, wasn't it?
I thought the little run was that took me out of it, that little run he did across the court. Yeah. I thought it was quite good until that bit, because it was sort of like stumbling around, like getting his bearings again. I thought that bit was all right, and then he did that fucking comical run. I was like, oh. And then the bit on the boat was just ridiculous.
On the boat, screaming at the fucking sea.
And he's like stood on the pole, like he just reminded me of like a fucking King Kong or something. Just like, fuck knows what it was.
Okay, I'd stay set to him to come and go, now bring me the horizon. Captain Jack Sparrow shit. Sadly, where that dog shit band got the name from as well. So,
is that what it is?
Yeah, they are dreadful, let's be honest.
I've seen them live.
I've seen them live when they were like a shitty metalcore band years ago, and they were shit then, and they're even shitter now. They've gone into the electronic pop kind of territory.
Yeah.
And he's just,
a prick as well.
Gimp. Oh, huge prick. Anyway, we're going off topic. So that segues into Tony, Dusty, and Heenan. Dusty's in red leather. Back. Heenan's in a purple jacket. Tony, bland.
Yeah, well, they weren't matched this week, were they? Well, this month, sorry.
Apparently, it's the biggest world title match ever. It sold out. It actually had a bit of oomph for once.
Yeah, until we got there.
Yeah. So they did. Fuck's sake. We discussed Piper. Dusty says he's lived pain, blues, and agony, baby. Heenan says bad news is Piper's escaped, but don't lock your doors because he's heading straight for Hollywood, which I thought was a nice line.
That was good, yeah. It's nice.
And then that sort of moves into a recap of Six pilfering the belts from both Eddie and Dino to set up the opening bout, which is Dean Malenko versus, make some noise, Six for the Cruiserweight title.
Yeah. I was weirdly looking forward to this one. I don't know why I've not been, hugely impressed with the work of Six so far, but I think this may have been a better matchup for him.
I'd give him a 4, to be fair. I won't give him a 6 out of 10. He's been pony. He really has. I've not seen anything. I think he's wrestled twice.
Yeah, that ladder match wasn't great, was it, with Eddie?
Not the best, which with Eddie, it's, you know, you've got to be the shits. He's not the shits, but he's, I think he's just off his tits a lot.
Yeah, he looks it.
So,
you might be just saying what I'm about to say. It's funny that he gets the B Squad music.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He comes out to the Jobber tune.
I don't get that.
I thought he was supposed to be like one of the top guys, isn't it?
Well, that's what I thought. But apparently not.
But he's not. He's just a Brandon Cutler, isn't he?
Yeah, basically, he's the director film. Film guy,
yeah, he's the hype man. Once every 3 months, yeah. He's a flavor of the NWO. He needs a big fucking clock round his neck, and he's on his top as well, which I found odd. He's on his belly,
yeah.
Isn't
he? No backing at all. Well, not at this juncture yet, anyway.
No, Dino, all business as always, out to get his belt back, out to teach Six a lesson.
Looks good, does it?
What do you reckon to this one? Oh, Dean always looks good, mate. He's fucking class.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't mad at it. I didn't mind it. I think it was a better performance from Six, but there was still some messy elements. He, like you said, you can almost see the somas in him, can't you? Somas are, you know, sweating out of him. Because there's a few little lapses of concentration and stuff like that. But I thought it was all right. I just think Dean's had much better matches. Granted, we know that. He's had, in this run, he's had some of the best matches I've seen in God knows how long. So he was never going to top that.
I think watching him with like Dean and Eddie and people like that, it's just, like I said, I've said it before, you just notice the like absolute massive gap in class.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't stack up to him, does he?
No, he's nowhere near on that level.
The thing is, though, he stood out, didn't he, when he was in WWF, because he was a bit different. And whereas he's turned up in WCW and they're all, you know, there's that sort of cruiserweight scene. There's guys, there's a five, six guys better than him, and he's before he's even walked to the door.
Yeah. The only person who was really doing that kind of stuff in WWE, like we said before, was probably Owen, and Owen's infinitely better than him anyway, but he was a bit more towards the main event scene because he's a bigger bloke.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a weird one. Dino jumps it. There's a flying sidekick, and he pulls him up at two because he wants to dish it out to him. Brainbuster pulls it up at two. It's not your usual Dino sort of thing where he's clinical.
I wasn't sure on that. I didn't think it fit him.
There's a pornographic snap power slam by Dino, though.
Yeah, beautiful.
It didn't fit because it was.
He's all business, isn't he?
Story. Yeah. I get the story behind it. It's like this little runt of the litter. I'm just gonna teach him a lesson because he's humiliated me. I get the story, but it just doesn't work in the context of what Dean Malenko is, really.
He's just straight up professional, and he goes in there to get the job done. He wouldn't fuck. He just feel like the way he's been built, he wouldn't be fucking about. He wants to get the job done early, doesn't he? He's not really interested in showboating or anything like that.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It'd be like if Dennis Irwin did like two fucking Rabonas. Yeah. And fucking roulettes and all that kind of shit. It's just completely out of character.
Yeah. He's an 8 out of 10 most weeks, isn't he?
Most weeks, yeah. Get your submission, you know.
Get you a brain buster.
Never a finish. But, well.
Finish off of a clover leaf.
But Dino does batter him and humiliate him for large portions of the match.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed that.
Six to his credit, there's a wild bump into the Tree of Woe. And he drop kicks the knee, Dino, to soften him up for a clover leaf, which was smart.
The annoying thing was Six was selling the knee to begin with, and he was selling it quite well. And then he just forgets. He just stops doing it after a minute or two.
Yeah, I can't imagine his memory is top notch, really.
No, true.
He does get a bit of flurry in there with like an Inzaghi, a kicks and a Bronco Buster. Sadly, did not tear his anus.
You don't like that move, do you?
I just find it funny that he tore his arsehole.
When did he do that? When did he actually do that?
WWE, apparently. I can't confirm it. I wasn't there. But, you know, I've heard he tore his ring. Or his gooch or something. It's a nice back suplex out of a sleeper by Dino, and then Six smartly starts working Dino's neck. Some nice stuff, another brain buster, top rope leg drop. Six is a proper like 80s mum perm.
Yeah, it does.
Do you know what I mean? It's almost like it's like her off. Do you remember on Phoenix Nights where he's with that Brian Potter's with that woman?
She's like the IRS or whatever. What is she?
Job center woman, disability.
Yeah,
woman.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
and they're on the stanner, and he's like, and it's going up about two bits
things,
a second.
Things I'm
going
to do to you.
Do to you until we get upstairs.
Just you, mate. Right?
And it just and all I can see is looking. If you put a goatee on her, Waltman.
Yeah, it's true.
Dusty was mint in this match, man. He had me absolutely howling.
Yeah,
funny as fuck.
Brilliant all night, wasn't it, to be fair?
Eddie comes down. He has a tug of war with Six on the belt. And somehow Dino gets clocked in the face with it, but the ref doesn't see it. And Six covers for three.
Yeah, but do you notice how obvious the ref made it that he was just not looking? Like,
yeah.
As soon as it went towards his face, he was just like jolting his head away. It was just so stupid.
I didn't mind the finish, though. I thought, you know, it's a plausible way of him getting the win. It just looked a bit ropey.
Yeah, because you can sort of you can have Dean and Eddie now, can't you, really? There's tension there. There's obviously Dean still has that, you know, he still wants his cruiserweight belt, because that's like his baby, isn't it? So, like, there's things that you could do with that.
Yeah, but you could also move Dino away from the cruiserweight and get going for the US title.
That's what I mean, yeah.
You've got, like, an influx of, you know, the other, like, luchador kind of guys as well. Six. I quite enjoyed it. I mean, it's, you know, it's definitely not Dino's finest work, but he definitely got more out of Six than Jezza did.
Yeah. And Eddie, weirdly. I think it was just because of how much of a professional Dean is, though, isn't he? He's just, you can imagine him planning every bloody second of the match out almost.
Yeah, you can, yeah. I thought, correct me if I'm wrong, is this the first time we've ever had a fuck finish in a cruiserweight match? Because they're usually clean, aren't they?
Yeah, probably. Well, actually, hang on, was there any stuff with that Sonny Ono and stuff like that with Ultimate Dragon?
Maybe. Yeah, but it wasn't as egregious as this. It was like, you know, quite understated.
Yeah, just sort of bits and pieces. Yeah, you're probably right, actually. Maybe it's the first. Yeah.
But you're right there. It sort of sets up Dean and Eddie, and you can't really grumble at that, can you?
No, I'm not going to complain if we get to see that again. Definitely not.
So we go backstage.
Yeah.
Old Gino is with DDP.
Come on in, Diamond Dallas Page, if you will. Diamond Dallas Page, you take a look. You're side of this card tonight, but at this juncture, and I'm getting some conversation in my earpiece, we don't know who you're going to be facing. Somebody from the NWO.
Yeah, right. You know, Eric Bischquick really cracks me up. We don't know who I'm facing. Let's go through the list. Hollywood Hulk Hogan got his hands full with Mr. Piper. My good buddies Hall and Nash.
Couldn't be them.
They could be giant-sized.
They could.
Six, he just wrestled. I know he ain't got the guts to get in there with me right now at all. Who else we got?
Well, Vincent. You could take a look at Big Bubba, but thanks to somebody, and Lord knows I would not point an accusing finger.
You think he's got a lawsuit probably for falling in that manhole? He must, I swear. Vincent, you got Wall Street. Maybe.
Hey, wait a second. Don't forget Buff. Wait, hold. What was that again, gentlemen?
Buff, you know, he's the stuff. Here's a guy who's got an ego bigger than Diamond Dallas Page. He makes me look like I can't even spell the word ego.
Dallas Page, I have just been informed officially that it will be Marcus Buff Bagwell facing you tonight here at Super Brawl. I know you're chomping at the bit on that one.
Buff, when you think you got my number, Diamond Cutter. Bang!
All right, thank you very much. Diamond Dallas Page, official now. He's going to be facing Buff Bagwell as part of this spectacular card.
He said he doesn't know who he's facing, but it is someone from the NWO. It's not Hogan, it's not Hall and Nash, it's not Six. Bubba's out, he fell down a manhole. And then Gene says, don't forget Buff. And then Gene's been informed it's Buff. Good timing, that, wasn't it?
At the time, he's got his earpiece in. It is Buff. Yeah. It's a flat match, isn't it, for DDP after the sort of momentum that's been built.
And it's a flat promo. It wasn't a great DDP promo. And then he's like, all he says at the end is, you think you got his number, and Diamond Cutter, bang. And
it's not progressed as much as it probably would need to, has it? Unfortunately.
But it's going to be this like gauntlet run through the NWO thing, isn't it?
It seems like it. But it's there's so many of them. You're risking killing off the momentum, aren't you?
Chinlock.
No one wants him to fight Bubba or, like you said, Chinlock. No one wants to see that. They want to see him against Hall or Nash or even Hogan, maybe somewhere down the line. I don't know. But him against Bagwell, I just sort of went, whatever.
I mean, Bagwell's not bad. I don't hate Bagwell. By the way, his Dark Side of the Ring is fucking mental. Bagwell's just.
I've not seen that. Is it good?
Oh, his family's off its fucking head.
Really?
There's a bit where his mate's telling Dark Side of the Ring, and they do like one of them reenactment things of his mother shaving his bollocks.
Bloody hell.
And he shot his dad, apparently, so.
He shot his dad?
Yeah, it didn't kill him, but he shot his dad, yeah.
Bloody hell. I just thought he was a fucking random guy. I didn't think he had a dark past.
But sadly, Holy Wednesday night's Batman. We've got a AAA six, man.
I'm not going to lie to you, big boy. I used my skip on this one.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. You're allowed. We had Ciclope, Super Calo, and the Mr. Bean of Lucha Libre, Juventud Guerrera versus Conan, the Jacket, and Villano Cuatro. One of these is not like the other. that would be Conan.
Conan.
Why does he continue to be lumped in with luchadors when he's the furthest thing from a fucking luchador?
he's garbage in that when he does that style. When he keeps it simple, yeah. He's all right.
When he was against Eddie, great.
Yeah, decent. Don't be trying to do high flying stuff anymore because you're too heavy for it. He's too big, isn't he? He's too big for that sort of style.
He's a fucking unit. It's our first sighting of Villano 4. We've seen his brother, Ray Mendoza Jr., Villano 5.
Is that the hairy bloke? Say,
no, you said this before. That was Miguel Perez Jr.
I liked him. I haven't seen him since. He was decent.
He was good. Well, it'll be coming up when we pop over to WWF down the line because he's in Los Boricuas with Savio and friends. I thought it's going to be a fucking train wreck, this, but hopefully it's better than the WWF's attempt at the six-man that did at the Rumble because there's bigger names here.
Is this a direct sort of response to that, do you think?
I'd have thought so. Well, yeah. They had a working relationship with him, I'm sure they did, as well as I think Antonio Pena, the AAA guy, was just, okay, let's see how much cash I can get and exposure I can get from all sides, and you can't really fault him. Baby faces are out to outrageously racist mariachi music, like fucking beyond outrageous. So the rules, if there is any, you don't need to tag. When one goes outside, one comes in.
Yeah.
I thought at least Supercalo was in it,
Yeah. That must have been the only plus point.
So here's a quick run through of this mental fucking abomination. Secret Play does an 8 on the Guerrero scale, modified Mexican. Nice.
That's good.
Hoover hits a tilt-a-whirl head scissors and a springboard and doesn't botch.
What?
I know. Callow looks mint, as always, but there's zero fucking psychology. It's just, they just take turns doing mad spots, right? Which is, essentially Lucha. Callow hits a great high-low, but he gets took out while sat on a chair by La Parka. It's busy as fuck. It really was.
AEW.
I really tried for this because I knew you'd skip it.
You're like the Mean Gene. You're the investigative journalist on this match. Got a scoop for
you. But Ciclope did a botch for the ages.
Oh, God.
So he does a springboard moonsault and lands about 4 feet to the left of the Lano 4. And I mean, literally, it was fucking daylight. Like, it was mad.
That's quality.
It's like Villano and Conehead hit Hoovy with a doomsday device. No cover. All of them just do some surfboard move. All six of them. Like, it's proper mental. Hoovy gets launched out and takes an absolute brutal bump, which he tends to do. Then he gets face planted, then surfboarded in the middle of a human star. So he's been on, he's surfboarded, and then the rest of them have made a star around it.
Jesus, are you making that up?
No, I'm not even joking, mate. And then Heenan goes, I'll give you $1,000 if you can tell me who the legal man is.
That's brilliant.
We get triple toe pays. That takes the heels out. All stood there watching, obviously. Splash Mountain by Conehead on Hoovy for 3. Botchy pin. Absolute train wreck, but more entertaining than the Rumble one, which is dabbing it with faint praise. Yeah. Fucking hell. It was a slog to get through that.
I thought you skipped it as well.
No, I usually skip on something else, mate.
Oh, did you? Oh. I wonder what that was.
It was the main event, I'm not going to lie.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't.
You watched the main event.
Next up, we get something that shouldn't have been on there, and it should have been Billy Regal, but we get Rey versus Prince Iaukea for the TV title.
Why? Why did we get this?
I don't know. Rey looks mint, obviously. I just felt cheated all the while I was watching.
Was Ray paying homage to Dragon's Ricky Steamboat with that gear? Or was that just
possibly? Possibly.
Sort of looked like them, the sort of colours he used to wrestle in. I actually can't believe this is what we're getting.
I just don't get it. I don't understand why this guy's getting a run with a belt. He's out to fucking crickets. Nobody knows who he is.
And I don't blame him for not knowing who he is. He's literally not been presented like anything until last week. Why? What's that? I don't understand.
There's no heat to it. There's no build to it. It's face versus face. I just don't get it.
It's green as fuck. I mean, as well.
green as fucking spinach, mate. This fucker. Honestly, Ray's doing like 90% of the work.
Yeah, and he's struggling because he's not. He's probably not carried a match like this before.
No. And Ayakea does like a clunky crossbody off the top. There was absolutely no grace to it whatsoever.
It was poor. Really poor, wasn't it? It was sloppy, I would say.
I mean, there's a nice hammerlock suplex by him and a nice vertical. And he does a nice press slam into a backbreaker. And then there's a nice spot where Ray ends up like Hurricane Rana in Ayakea out of the ring. I'll give him that. There's some nice bits in, but like, it's not just about what moves you can do, is it? So
yeah. Ray was doing his bit when he some nice counters and stuff. Big dive outside, like you said.
Yeah. Through the ropes one. The sensor. Fucking hell.
Really, I thought he cracked his knee on that one. Yeah, he looked like he was favouring it a bit, didn't he, after that? Hopefully he's all right.
And then he hits some corky, like it's a double springboard moonsault, a split legged moonsault, only gets two. Then Ayakea does a Samoan drop off the top. But Ray's like pulling out all the stops. But Ayakea is trying to tang with him. And it's not quite it's not there. Old Billy Regal mooches down the aisle. I thought he was. He did have the belt taken off him because he was going to Japan or something. No, he's here.
He's in the building. So why not just have the match? Unless he's injured or something. I don't know.
He might be. Botchy head scissors by Ray. Really botchy head scissors by Ray.
Yeah. It was ugly.
Regal yanks him off the apron and Ayakea pins for three, but doesn't seem happy about winning it that way.
He gives the belt to Ray.
And Ray won't accept it either. So, you know, stalemate. But finally, Ayakea goes, oh, go on then. I'll have it. Go on.
I will actually have it, yeah. Poor.
I thought it was all right. It was okay. You know, because Ray, like, made it better than it should have been. I think Regal versus Ray would have been better, even though that match we had with them wasn't the greatest, but I think giving them a bit more time to feel each other out, we got something good out of it. There was zero heat to it, and Ayakea is like nowhere near any level of any of the other sort of cruiserweight kind of people.
Yeah, I just don't get why he's been given that spot. Just can't figure it out.
Should have been a TV match, not a title match on a pay-per-view.
Yeah, agreed.
However, Gene's back. Backstage with Elegante, I mean, the Giant.
We go back now to Gene Okerlund in the locker room area. Giant, come on in, if you will. You certainly have got to be aware of the fact that the outsiders, Scott Hall and his partner Kevin Nash, are prone to play psychological warfare. Mind games, as they say, and certainly that's what they're doing, I think, with you tonight.
Well, of course, that's going to be their attitude, and that's going to be what they're going to try to do. I've ridden with these guys in the car. I know how bad they drive. I've roomed with them in hotels. I know what they are. They're all about the mind game, the psyche. That's what they're after. They want to get the Giant rattled. They want me crazy. They want me insane. So I'm doing all kinds of crazy things that I shouldn't be doing. Well, if you can listen to me right now, you understand that I'm not erratic. I'm not crazy. I've got my composure. I'm going to play the game tonight the way I want to play it. And at my speed. I'm the conductor, and Hall and Nash are playing the instruments. And tonight, when it's all said and done, I guarantee you I'm walking away with those tag team belts.
All right, he is going to be going it alone, as you know. Lex Luger coming up with the medical okay, but of course Eric Bischoff says no go. The Giant by himself tonight against Hall and Nash for the WCW tag team title belts, and it all happens here at Super Brawl 7. Right now, Tony, Dusty, Bobby, Brain.
So, the outsiders are known for playing mind games, but he's driven with them, and he's roomed with them, and he knows what they're like. He's not erratic. He's composed. He's the conductor, and they're playing the instruments. He's going alone. Actually, one of the Giant's better promos.
Yeah. I mean, he's a little bit erratic.
World title guy. Oh, he is a little bit, yeah. Well, he's erratic in the build-up to a big match. When it's a big match, no heat.
Yeah,
no, nothing.
It's so weird, isn't it? It's like when he had that world title match against Hogan. Like, he'd been all, the entire week, he'd been burst into the dressing room and stuff like that. And then he came out with fucking boo boo job face, didn't he?
Speaking of looking like a dick, we get Buff Bagwell versus Diamond Dallas Page
in a dog what collar.
In a dog collar that says NWO on it, for fuck's sake.
In full red gimmick, like, it's not really NWO, is it? They're all black and white, and he's in bright red. Just doesn't quite fit.
He's just a Doyle. So, yeah, smells like yoga, and a cigar-smoking Paige comes out to a big pop and pyro.
They look good.
Paige is getting more and more over. He looked class, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he levers Bagwell around the chops and takes him down.
Bagwell's bodied, like, though, isn't he? He looks good, like, body-wise, yeah. But his gear is awful.
Yeah, his gear is awful. Do you know how obsessed he was with his body? This is going back to this Dark Side of the Ring thing. He had calf implants.
Did he?
He couldn't get his calves any bigger, yeah, and he had to have them taken out because his body rejected him and he nearly snuffed it.
Fucking hell. You've got fucking... You don't even wear main event pants. No one can see your calves, no. Mate.
No, you're in leggings, lad. But Bagwell does that like a proper chicken shit, which I thought was nice.
Yeah.
Page, it's a big swinging net breaker to a huge pop, which was nice as well.
That was like a modified... It's classic DDP modifying like a classic move, and it just makes it look even better. Yeah. He's brilliant at that.
I thought it got a lot better. It was like sort of Buff Bagwell was like an interesting variation on a tornado DDT, which looked quite nice. Yeah. And Buff does get heat, and Paige is selling great for him as always, and he getting his little hope spots in. Buff pushes the ref pushes back and pushes him to the floor to a big pop.
Yeah.
And then comes and putting over the diamond cutter massively. And then Paige comes back with an atomic drop, sit down power bomb for two. I thought this is pretty decent. Signals for the cutter, but Buff gets a backslide. Nice fisherman, but wants the ref count to 10. Buff goes for a neck breaker, but Paige counters into the diamond cutter to an absolute fucking monster pop.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. I actually thought I wasn't looking forward to it, but I mean, I don't know if that maybe added to why I liked it, because I wasn't expecting much from it.
It's surprise sort of, factor.
Yeah, and I think that's probably just because I love DDP. And to be fair, Bagwell's all right, isn't he? He's not bad, is he? He's not bad in the ring.
No, he's not shit at all.
I just love the addition of, like, just watching how DDP can get his diamond cutter hit this week. I just he always finds new and exciting ways to hit it. It's incredible. I don't know how he does it every week.
It's that DDP yoga. Limber, motherfucker.
Oh, God, yeah. But yeah, like you said, he counted like a net breaker in, like, seamlessly into the diamond cutter. It was bloody beautiful.
Sadly, though, the NWO run in and Paige clocks them all and then gets off. I didn't mind the finish, but I thought it was a good match. Didn't mind the finish because he had the win and he evaded the beatdown smartly, like he evaded the heels. And Paige continues to outsmart him, and it's just... If it's going to be like this with matches against all the little job squad, then, you know, if they're as good as this, then I'm quite happy with it. But I think it's...
I don't think they will be as good as this, unfortunately.
No, it's going to be the odd damp squib match, but I think it's all about the finish with him. You know, if it's going to be the NWO, he's never going to get the pin. They're going to break it before... You know, he gets the pin, and then he's going to just... It's all about how he evades them and outsmarts them, and they're doing a good job with it, I guess. I mean, you're not going to want to see him versus Bubba. Well, maybe Bubba. Bubba's not too bad. Chinlock, he's had his day 10 years previously. You know, him versus Six, I don't know if that would work, because Paige is better when he's bumping off somebody.
Yeah, size wouldn't quite work, would it?
But, again... Not a bad match at all. It was better than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Yeah, I didn't mind it.
But something I was looking forward to. Eduardo Guerrero versus, come out, baby, Chrissy Jezza.
The good one.
For the US belt. Yeah, the good incarnation of Chrissy Jezza. And Jezza's got his game face on. Like like he's on the Mass Finger again.
Dressed up like a dinosaur, however it was.
That's it. Eddie comes out and the comms say that he feels bad about what happened before with Dino, but he should be focused. Now, this was mint.
It was world class. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
First class. straight out of the bat, what does Eddie Guerrero do? 9.2 on the steamboat. Like it was nothing. Straight off the bat. No fucking around.
He's a master of it, isn't he? Absolute master.
He is the AD master, yeah.
Yeah. There's only, I think he's the one who's got the best rated ones, hasn't he? By a mile. Yeah. Like, no one.
He won it last year. Yeah, he won it last year. State the Ricky Steamboat Award, Arm Drag of the Year, yeah. And I'm pretty sure no one's going to top his 9.2 unless Steamboat himself makes a comeback. Yeah. Unless Steamboat comes back, then no.
Yeah.
I just thought it was superb. I mean, the grappling was superb. The leg takedowns, I can't even explain it. It was almost a drop toe hold, but it was just a superb takedown. And it's like the reversals, and there's the abdominal stretch by Jezza, but elbow in the rib cage.
Yeah, nasty. Heelish. He had a nice main streak, didn't he, in this one, Jezza?
Yeah. They do that Greco-Roman knuckle lock and Eddie Bridges for a good 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, in this, he's just bridging. It's like fucking the neck strength. Jesus.
Yeah. Bloody brilliant.
There's some stuff on here. I mean, Jezza attempts a lion tamer, but Eddie gets out of it. Jezza works a chin lock, knee in the back. Lovely heelish subtleties. Love it.
Mm. They both fed into it a little bit, didn't they? You know, they're both like, oh, it's a big match. Well, like, obviously, there's not been any build to it, but not much build anyway. And they sort of, they just added those little bits and little details, which made it add that little bit of edge to it, which was really good, I thought.
I agree. Tilt a whirl into a torture rack.
Beautiful.
Filth.
Absolutely beautiful. Better than Lex's.
Yeah. I think mine's better than Lex's, mate.
You don't get the pop of Lex, though, do you?
No, I get the popping of the hernia when I lift some fucker up like that. Jezza misses a nice springboard crossbody and Eddie takes over. So you get the lariat, the powerbomb, brainbuster. Nice, lovely release, German suplex by Jezza. Lovely.
Yeah, that was, he fucking got some elevation on that.
Yeah, it was just this mad sequence that ended in like a overhead belly to belly and he just fucking launched him. Beautiful. Yeah. Jezza did a monkey flip, but I thought he was going for the code breaker when he did it, right?
At least he didn't try the Judas.
15 years early. sloppy springboard dive out by Jezza to the concrete off the top, and Eddie catches him in an atomic drop, which looked nice, because usually they just catch him, but getting him in an atomic drop was brilliant. Stalemate wheel kicks, both down. Big super kicks all perfectly by Eddie. Eddie crucifixes into a sunset flip and gets the three. Great finish.
Yeah. I thought it was superb.
Yeah, I've put that as an in-ring spectacle, it was top quality.
Arguably the best match we've seen in quite some time. In this sort of last few months anyway, last few bits of what we've watched, a few pay-per-views, that can't think of anything that's topped that. It was brilliant.
No.
Like you said, it was really back good. And forth, both men got to shine. You know, you'd want to see it again. You know, it's almost like not a sneak, but it's like a cheeky win. So it's like, yeah, he's got grounds for maybe he could go back for him and go for another match. Jericho.
Maybe
like
sad.
Yeah, that he's a prick now.
and Eddie's dead. So,
yeah. I thought it was like the first real like star-making performance by Jericho. I know he's had a few good little bits, this is the first time he's been on a pay-per-view, and he's genuinely, he's brought it, and he was quality. And Eddie's always brilliant. You know, he's barely put a foot wrong since we started watching it, has he?
Agreed. I mean, obviously it was face versus face. It wasn't necessarily a cold, it wasn't cold, but it was not much build up to it, not much story behind it, other than two guys wanting to see who the best man is and going for a championship. I thought the action was fucking spot on, and it all made sense. I mean, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Love to see it again down the line.
So, next up, Harlem Heat with Sherry versus Faces Affair with Jimmy Hart versus the Pubics.
The Pubics.
Faces Affair look menacing as hell. The Pubics look as shit as ever with a table. I love
gone
the faces.
Bald, one of them, hasn't he?
I was well, about to get to that, yeah. Well, he shaved his napper, hasn't he? One of them dickheads. Love the faces, love Harlem, but these two tits I just can't abide. Harlem all in white, not sure if I like it.
Yeah, I'm not used to them in that colour. They're like a dark purple or a red, aren't they? Or the black with the flames, that's the quintessential.
Quintessential.
Yeah.
So what did you think to this?
Do you know what? For about 70% of it, I thought it was chaotic but brilliant. Until there was the odd, just the bits where the Public Enemy were in it, because they're absolutely shite.
Yeah.
They're just fucking, they didn't need to be in this match. And I've given away the finish, but the fact that they won it is just incredible to me. I can't get my head around it. You know, the quality of like hard hitting stuff back and forth that Faces of Fear and Harlem had was brilliant. It was like just what you want in, just what you'd expect from those four guys, four hard hitting blokes who just, you know, they wrestle stiff and they fucking enjoy doing it. And then you've just got these two tits on the side just getting involved and just ruining it. Every time they got in the match, I just went, oh, you know, it was my reaction every time they got involved.
I didn't have that reaction when they got involved because I didn't watch the fucking thing.
Did you not watch it?
If it was, I will watch Harlem Heat versus the Face of Fate all day long and twice on a Sunday, mate. I love all four of them guys, but I just can't watch them. Can't do it. Can't do it. I saw the finish.
Yeah.
But yeah. But why are they over so much? Exactly.
That's what I was going to say. What is it? Is it the song? Is it because they're not good in the ring? The table things just nicked that off the Dudleys, aren't they? I don't know. Like, I don't.
No, they got in there before, I think.
Did they? Well,
I think maybe.
Dudleys made it more popular, I suppose, didn't they? There's some good stuff in it. Like, Booker was on fire. Some beautiful, like, you know, his scissor kick and his Harlem sidekicks were just on point. There was this really funny bit where one of the Public Enemy was just getting battered for like 5 minutes and he tags out to Barb. Barb's like, all right then. And they just boots him in the head as he comes in. It was absolutely class. Just
Barb's
thought,
fucking
yeah.
great.
I just thought, yeah, that suits him to a T. There was an absolute belter of a belly to belly by Barb from the top rope on Booker, which.
Standard.
Yeah, it was world class. Another one of those, big throw catch power bombs that they do that you love. They got that bad boy in. Double headbutts. Another big power bomb again by Face of Fear, but it's all getting broke up by various people. I just put him in. I just wish it was Harlem versus Face of Fear because I was loving it. I was absolutely loving it when it was them guys in the ring. Yeah. And then Public Enemy just steal a win out of nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. It was like when you dominated on FIFA, you've had about 20 shots, you've had about 15 shots on target, keepers had a belter, they've gone down the other end and broke counter-attack, nicked it 1-0. And they've just...
Yeah, with a 0.01 XG.
Yeah, and it was just like, I just came out of it going, for fuck's sake, how has that happened?
As much as I hate them, I totally get why they're going for the belts, because they are over as fucking, it's baffling. It's Bushwhackers levels of baffling. It's fucking Luger levels of baffling. It's not like, he's not as bad as them. So I saw it where there's a blind tag, so there's pubics are technically legal. It all breaks down. Meng and Harlem are outside. And then one of these fat twats off the top comes off, and Barb catches this fat fuck in a pile driver position. Catches him clean in a pile driver. The fucking strength of that man is unquestioned, man.
Yeah, it's brilliant. He's a fucking unit, isn't he?
He's fucking brilliant. And then the other fat fuck crossbodies them both off the top for free. Horseshit.
Yeah, I mean, it was good for parts, but the finish just it riled me. let's say.
Well, they're going for the belts, mate, but they're not winning them, are they? Let's be honest.
Are they fuck? Well, they won them once. Remember when they fucking won it that week? That was a fucking joke. That.
Oh yeah.
They fucking won it. Yeah. I don't know if it was a dodgy. I don't know if it was a ref fuck up, but they gave him up about a week later, didn't they?
Just a little road test to see how shit they really are.
Yeah, got a fucking big pop somehow though.
Dreadful. Well, speaking of people who wind us up, yeah, it's got Mongo McMichael with Roboto versus Jarrett to see if Jarrett will be a horseman or not. Yeah, a bit stale this angle, so I'm hoping this is the blow off.
I'd like to think so, but I wouldn't. I don't know.
Jarrett and Roboto look fucking ridiculous. I mean, it all starts off, Jarrett's on top for a bit and he gets cocky. To be fair to me, it's a 7.4 on the Steamboat and relaxes in the corner, which was some nice cocky heel stuff. I'll give him that. Mongo catches him, hits a big... No, is he fuck? Catches him, gives him a big slam and he chop blocks him. Smart. If his legs are fucked, there's no figure four. Bit of psychology from Mongo.
Mm, yeah, true. Very true.
Roboto keeps stopping Mongo from getting old Double J.
Yeah.
And then he does like the classic abdominal stretch with the ropes bit.
But it was like she kept speaking into the camera, didn't she? Oh, I don't know who to help and all this. It's like your husband, probably.
I think it was Heenan that said, the one who pays your bills, love.
Yeah, that was it. The one who gets your groceries or something like that, wasn't it? Yeah, I just don't get. I don't get it. Is it another fucking a fair angle that they're going down? I don't know.
Fuck knows, but she was drying him off with a fucking towel. Jarrett does get heat from the crowd, though. But from me, he gets absolute go-away heat. But Jarrett weathers the storm. He can't put him up, but he can't put Mongo away. Mongo loses concentration and Jarrett takes advantage. Jarrett catches the ref and Mongo asks for the briefcase. She won't give it him. So she just turns around and lobs it blindly into the ring. And funnily enough, Jarrett gets it and levers him with it for the free. And then Roboto winks into the camera. For these two, though, I thought the match was all right. I thought it could have been a hell of a lot worse, right? The finish could have been good and it should have been good, but Roboto's so shit, it looks like
there's
she
no
botched
subtlety
it, even
to
though...
It.
No, it looked like she botched it, even though she probably did it right. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just wank.
There's no, like... You could have made it look better where she's, you know, almost accidentally threw it in. Do you know what I mean? But it just looked fake as fuck, didn't it? It just looked too obvious. A bit petrol-y.
Now, if he'd have got it, Mongo, if he was like having a tug of war and it went flying.
And he's lobbed it back, yeah.
Yeah.
But she literally just went, oh, straight into the air, right to the hands of Jarrett. It was like they choreographed it like hours before, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was bobbins, mate.
Yeah, but Jarrett's really horseman now, apparently.
Oh, fucking wonderful. There's another... We'll have to add another 2 minutes onto the segment to get his bullshit in. Fucking hell. But next up, we've got something that me and you were both raring for. Kevin Sullivan with Jacqueline and Jimmy Hart versus Benoit with Woman. San Francisco Deathmatch. Woman strapped to Jacqueline. Woman looks absolutely smoking. Smoking hot.
Yeah.
Benoit's new music's mint, but should not be for him. It's almost like 80s electro. Just didn't work with him. That's all.
Didn't work for you, brother.
What I didn't like about this was them two being strapped to each other took all the shine off what should have been an absolute masterpiece of violence.
It wasn't really, though, was it?
Compared no, it wasn't, and that's what I mean. It should have been a phenomenal blow-off. Like double juicer, fucking mental. Do you know what I mean? But it wasn't.
I mean, the first I thought the first 5 minutes or so was good because it was chaos. It was everyone's having everyone. They were whipping the fuck out of each other. The boys were at it. Yeah. And then it started to split up. We got a double screen gimmick, which I was like, oh god, here we go. And then they went backstage and I thought, here we go, fucking Dusty's gonna get excited, they're gonna go in the toilet, they love the toilet, or something like that. And it just sort of petered out, didn't it?
All they did was it body slammed him on one of those like mini trucks that Austin Powers gets.
I thought he was gonna drive him down like the concourse or something into like, do you know what I mean? Like I thought I was like, oh, this is gonna be good, this is gonna drive him into the car park, and I didn't know what to expect, but it just sort of it was just a bit of a damp squib, wasn't it? Unfortunately.
It really was. But when he got on that little truck, I thought all I could think about was where he gets stuck in the corridor and Austin Powers in one of them trucks. Yeah. And I just thought, this is fucking lame. But when they started, they're whipping fuck out of each other. And then them two are wrestling. And I'm thinking, what? Where's the madness?
Yeah, beating the fuck out of each other, smacking each other, getting weapons involved and all sorts. That's what we came for.
Bit of uncomfortable stuff where Jacqueline boots him in the nuts while Benoit is getting hung with the strap. Eerie foreshadowing there, man.
Yeah,
that was
I know, yeah, that was bad, wasn't it? I didn't think of it at the time, but then now you put two and two together, I've got five. Yeah, that was pretty harrowing.
Yeah, and then all they did in the back was that truck and then fucking throw a plastic bin at him, and it's back in the arena in the ring. Yeah, poor. Provocatively poor.
He got appallingly poor. Gets the public enemy's table out, doesn't he?
Yeah. But first he does his tree of woe and double stomp.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did. Yeah. He had to get that in.
Then he hits a pile driver. Benoit gets a table. Sullivan's on the table. Jacqueline climbs onto Sullivan to save him. Benoit splashes off the top and the fucking table doesn't break.
It just looked dirty, didn't it? Like,
but the crowd are popping like fuck for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was flat.
I did. Benoit covers for three. I thought it was mental, but on the part of Woman and Jacqueline.
They've
it
had
was
much
nowhere
better
near as good. Yeah, it was nowhere near as good as the first one. And then Arn comes out shaking his head. Fuming. Jacqueline, Benoit and Sullivan are all out cold. Benoit's holding his head, which again is ominous.
Mm.
Fucking Paul Orndorff comes out. Fucking Tony the Tiger comes out. Yeah, he's a proper little dumpy fuck Tony the Tiger with a pedo tash. Proper overselling this. There was no egregiously mad spots. It was just high octane stuff. There was no juice, you know.
Yeah, I don't think it deserved three stretches.
Yeah, a bit much.
Just a table spot, wasn't it? Fucking it wasn't that big. Yeah. I know Jacqueline, maybe Jacqueline, to be fair, because she got clattered, like, but I've seen these two, I've get battered more in matches, so, like, for them to be both stretched out, it just made them look weak, if anything.
It could have been an absolute corker blow off to this mad feud, but it was just the wet fart, wasn't it?
Maybe it was time constraints or something like that, but it just didn't.
Maybe.
It didn't live up, unfortunately, which is a shame, because we were looking forward to it.
But, like, Tony's, like, super serious, Tony Schiavone. And this is where Tony went absolutely fucking down the swanny for me tonight. He's like, going, oh, anything can happen in WCW. So, here's an uncensored promo. <For fuck's
sake>. Get this plug in.
Jesus. Oh, man. But it got a little bit better after this. We get the Outsiders with old Make Some Noise himself versus the Giant and potentially Luger for the
Outsiders. Looked million bucks, didn't they?
Yeah. Nash not in the red, thank fuck. Lovely.
Yeah, looked good. Hall looks good.
Six and all had the wrong shirt on. It said Aztecas on it.
Yeah, what's that? What was that all about? Was that
no, I, no idea.
In joke, won't it? They've cocked up.
Yeah, they've all got matching. I guarantee they've all got been Mexico and got matching T-shirts.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels will be sat there watching it, pissing himself, won't he, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes I just think these lot, the clique in general, a bit lame sometimes.
They can be, can't they?
Yeah. The Giant's out, still no music.
It's just stupid. There's no presentation to him at all.
Like, gets pyro though.
Ominous, like dark, like music, like bang. Yeah. Here comes the big boy. He's coming for you, and he just comes out to now. It's not like he gets good reactions, is it? Really, from the crowd or anything like that.
No. And then they're putting over like, oh, he's not any man and all this. It's 2v1, but he's not just any one person. But then I'm thinking, Giant's 7 foot, right? Nash is nearly 7 foot, and Hall's not far off. Do you know what I mean?
They're big geezers, aren't they? The big blokes.
Oh, God, yeah.
And those six is tiny, but they've got an extra bloke on the side as well that could cause trouble.
It's like 2.5 versus 1, isn't it? Luger nowhere to be seen at the moment. Hall mocks him and then works him over, and then the Giant takes over. He chops the fuck out of him. Hall bumps and sells like an absolute hero for him. And he spits at him. It's an excellent drop kick by the Giant. I'll give him that. It sends Kev
beautiful.
Out.
Beautiful, that.
Still impressive. Still impressive when he does that.
Oh, yeah.
He rams Kev into the post, which they sell massively. Hall breaks the pin, 60 distracts, and Hall bulldogs the Giant to the mat. Luger chunks echo around the gaff, like everyone wants Luger.
Hot as hell.
Yeah, everyone's piping for this. Like, Hall's doing some lovely heel stuff behind the ref's back. Six hits a spin kick. Well, he goes to hit a spin kick.
He watches it.
Yeah. But the Giant sells it and comes calling him out. So, no, I missed that one. Fucking ridiculous.
He's fucking crap, isn't he, Six? His reputation's gone down the toilet everywhere.
Yeah, he's off his tits, that's why. Giant still fights back, Six off the top, gets caught, then he gets launched into Nash. Hall clocks the Giant with a cruiserweight belt, don't go down. Nash jackknifes him, which was impressive as fuck.
That was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, and he sells his back from the weight, obviously. I mean, fair enough. Luger comes down. Bischoff runs in front of him, but just gets launched to a massive pop.
Tarrant. That was Tarrant. Yep. It had to be.
I was waiting for it.
I mean, I thought it might have come later in the night, but that was nuclear, that. That was nuclear. Yeah.
Crowd are so ravenous they can barely see.
they should have full English, but we'll certainly take two of them on.
Exactly. Two of the outsiders on, yeah. he tags in, Luger cleans up, launches Waltman over the top into fucking next week, mad bump, and the crowd are absolutely bouncing. He racks Nash, and Nash taps. We've got new champs for now. Chokeslam to Hall, monster one, and gets a free pin by the Giant. I thought this was fucking great.
Yeah, brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. I thought it was going to be crap, to be honest, but it wasn't. It was fun. It was really fun.
Crowd were absolutely buzzing. Giant was decent. Scott Hall was fucking top notch and made the Giant look an absolute star. Lord Woodentop's over as fuck. Bischoff did his smarmy cunt bit. And Nash powerbombing the Giant looked mint. I mean,
I didn't think he could get him up, to be honest.
No, but Six is still annoying as fuck.
Yeah, I just thought it was chaos, but it was so fun, wasn't it? It was just.
It was a proper wrestling match. It's a pro wrestling match. We saw a technical wrestling match, and then we saw a pro wrestling match with angle and heat and fucking everything involved with it. That was like a proper
with a half decent build as well to it.
Yeah, so I mean, it had the angle with it. It had you know, promos that had been happening. There was a backstory to it. You know, with the Giant being in there and Luger and. Luger trying to, you know,
and there's going to be some repercussions, isn't there, on Monday on Nitro or following weeks, and you just sort of wonder how they're going to worm their way out of it this time.
Yeah, so there's intrigue going forward, and then fucking Schiavone, man, Jesus, tonight, fucking Schiavone, man. Bobby Heenan says, "Oh my God, do we have anything left for Piper and Hogan?" And Schiavone, deadpan as fuck, because he's a dick, goes, yes, Brain, it's our job.
He's just making
a statement like, Bobby Heenan's basically going, fucking hell after that, Jesus Christ.
He's speaking in hyperbole and stuff like that. He's just straight man as fuck. It's our job, pal. Yeah, we get that, mate.
For fuck's sake, Tony, you utter gimp.
He fits in well, doesn't he, with his current role in AEW?
What, as an utter gimp, yeah?
Yeah, he does.
So, main event side, Marcos. Hot Dog Hulk with Ted DiBiase, 1 mil Vincenzo, rest in peace, and the Rowdy Roddy Piper for the world title. Hogan out first, weird.
Yeah, that's not good. I don't understand that.
No, posing and posturing. No, Michael Buffer gets in.
I know, yeah, they must have not fancied the massive fucking booking fee this week or whatever, however much it costs to get in.
Bagpipes ring out and Piper's out. Disheveled and looking like a bona fide lunatic. And I thought, he looks exactly the same as the Alcatraz bit, so better consistency there.
I like that. It's like he's literally just turned up at the arena after that. That was good.
He swam there.
Yeah. Imagine that'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? If he was wet, he'd been in the water. That'd be fantastic.
Hogan spits on the kilt and Piper's raring. And then Tony, being a fucking gimp again, goes, Piper's mumbling something. Wonder if it's Gaelic. Fucking hell, Tony. Tony Schiavone is horse shit, he really is.
He's fucking garbage, isn't he? He's as shit now as he is today. I mean, that's saying something, because he's shocking now, but he was garbage back then as well.
Yeah, but at least he's not the lead announcer these days. You've got someone even fucking worse than him. In a different way.
In a mask.
Obviously, Hogan's doing his main event chicken shit bit where he walks off and it takes about fucking 40 years to start.
Oh, it's boring.
So Piper thinks, fuck it, I'll jump him in the aisle. At least there's a bit of, you know, needle to it.
Yeah.
There's eye pokes and low blows right in front of the ref. No DQ, is it? I don't think so.
I thought that, and then it was confirmed to me when he hits him with a chair. So, yeah, no DQ in this one, apparently.
It's just a lot of smoke and mirrors, isn't it? That chair shot was shit, because the chair was padded for a start.
Yeah, and he barely touched him, did he? It was just like, I'll just tap you with it, Hulk. Is that all right?
It's fucking dreadful. And then he sort of no-sells a low blow and bites Hogan.
Yeah.
Hogan's selling's just over-the-top, comical, fucking
It's cartoony, isn't it? It's just cartoony. When you have like the bit beforehand, which is the really good parts of the NWO, and then you see this and you just think, oh.
But both Piper Hogan matches have had great builds. And they lull you into that false sense of security, then you go, oh yeah, it's still shit. But I think Piper gets the best out of Hogan on the mic.
Oh yeah.
But Piper in the 80s, he's probably got the best out of Hogan in the ring as well.
Yeah.
But
He just can't be arsed now, though, can he?
I think Piper can. I just don't think he's anywhere near at that level anymore physically.
Well, how old was he at this point?
Both in the 40s, aren't they?
Mm.
But your 40-year-olds in the 90s were Hogan, Piper. Yeah, where your 40-year-olds now are like AJ Styles.
Looking after themselves better and stuff like that, weren't they? Yeah.
No pills, no sniff, no beer, no, you know what I mean?
Don't have to
drive fucking 400 miles for like house shows every day.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Takes its toll. So chin locks down, gets dropped. Ditto Vincenzo. Piper's got more eye pokes, crotches him on the ropes. Sting and Savage are in the aisle. Savage walks down, Sting stops him, but then lets him go and then walks back. And then we want Sting chance. Hogan posts Piper and then a bear hug to Piper. Class.
Fuck it. It didn't look like that would hurt anyone, to be honest.
No. And then they're saying he's still in a bear hug. He's on the fucking mat. How do you have a bear hug on the mat? That's just an aggressive cuddle. Do you know what I mean?
It's like they're doing the whole like dropping the hands thing, aren't they? Because they're saying he's passed out. Yeah. It's like, no, it just didn't look like it would.
And then there's more low blows, and Piper slaps the sleeper on, and his arm goes down three times when Piper's won the belt. But old Randall pulls Hogan under the ropes, and Matt Curtis sees the foot under the ropes. So Savage puts brass knucks in Hogan's hand, and he clocks Piper for three. What the fuck?
Rubbish makes no finish. Sense. It was absolutely rubbish. Because the ref saw it. The ref saw what was happening. Yeah. He was looking right at it. It makes no sense. And
the ref clearly knew he was in the middle of the ring when he did Hogan's free, you know, arms down.
Yeah, he knew it. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's stupid.
But it was such another damp squib. Again, no juice. They should have had juice as well. Piper tried, bless him. He really did try. And the Savage turn was shit, like really weak.
It was, yeah, because it was like, there was no suspense to it, was there? It was just...
No.
It was crap.
It's not like he's just turned up an absolutely levered Piper on the slide behind the ref or anything. He's just done a snidey little, let's pull you here. Savage sprays NWO and Piper and the Mega Powers are back. Hooray.
Yeah. It was garbage.
To be fair to him, he does a couple of sublime top rope elbows, though.
It never lives that, though.
No. Prolonged beat down. I mean, Roddy gets the visual win, and it's a fucked finish. But the turn, like the heel turn, makes no sense whatsoever, really.
No. He nicked his wife. He stole it. Yeah. He got his wife kidnapped. His ex-wife, kidnapped. He beat the fuck out of him at the last pay-per-view before he started doing this dark turn thing. I'm guessing we'll hear about it, but what was it? It was poor, wasn't it? Like the finish was garbage because it's just there was no way a ref would not notice that. He was looking right at it. It just made no sense.
No sense at all. I mean, I didn't think it was god awful, but it was nowhere near as bad as it should have been.
Him and the giant at Hogwild or whatever it was. That was
nothing's
worst
that
seen.
Bad. Only Paige Nella's worse than that.
Yeah, true.
The build, as always, with most Hogan, with the other Hogan Piper match, the build was better than the actual match and the finish.
Just a bit.
But I mean, that could have been said about the whole pay-per-view. It wasn't god awful, but nowhere near as good as it could have been. And the build to it was far better than the actual show.
Yeah. True.
Because the build, we were well up for it because it was the best built pay-per-view we've had, I think.
Yeah, it was from top to bottom. Yeah, it was. Most things were given time to, you know, the feuds had a bit behind them. But yeah, it was just, there was a couple of good matches, but most part it sort of flattered to the deceived and things like that, unfortunately.
Oh, well, onwards to Uncensored.
If it's anything like last time, it's going to be a belter. Bring back the three-tiered cage, I say.
You can say that all you want, mate, but I will not be backing you up on that. Sorry. Right, so we've got some post-show awards to give out. Match of the night, Mark.
It's tough. I think quality-wise, wrestling quality was Eddie and Jericho. I think the thing that I got the most enjoyment out of in terms of a full package was the World Tag Titles match.
Yep, I've written the exact same. I've put for in-ring Eddie Jezza, but for spectacle, Outsiders versus Luger and Giant.
Yeah, I just thought it just had every... That's, like you said, that's pro wrestling, that match. It was just...
Yeah.
That's what you come for. It was fun. It was exciting. There was a build to it. There was a storyline. There was an angle. It was just... I really enjoyed it from start to finish, to be fair.
Me too, and I never, ever thought I'd say that.
No, I didn't either. That was one of the matches where I was thinking, that's going to be crap. We'll sort of write that one off. But it was really fun, really delivered.
I'll have to second that. Outsiders versus Giant and Luger.
Yeah.
MVP. I'm going to say Scott Hall.
I was going to say Scott Hall. He made, like you say, he made the Giant look like a fucking $1 billion, didn't he? Never mind $1 million in that one.
Yeah.
Special shout out to Nash. Yeah, especially shot of a Nash get it, but for a fucking powerbomb, that takes some doing.
Didn't tear his quad either, so you know.
No, yeah. Jezza and Eddie, the contenders, both did their bit, but yeah, probably Scott Hall. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to say Scott Hall. Dick of the Day, there's a few here, and for once, I'm not going to lump Hogan into it. Dick of the Day, Pubic Enema Award. So obviously, the Pubic Enemas are on there because they were on the show and they're breathing. Savage for a wank heel turn, but I mean, I don't think that was his doing. Six is just fucking annoying.
Yeah.
But for me, it is Mr. Bland, Tony Schiavone. I can't fucking stick him anymore.
To be fair, yeah. I mean, his commentary was woeful. When you've got two characters like Dusty and Heenan. Dusty and Bobby and Heenan, yeah. And you've got that gimp in the middle of them. It's just like, nah. Just doesn't work.
You do need a straight man. You do, but you need someone who's got a bit more gravitas and a bit more oomph.
You do need that, but he's just nothing, is he? He's just nothingness. He just speaks in sound bites, doesn't he? Biggest night in our sport, you know, huge moment in our history and all this, and it's all he speaks in hyperbole, doesn't he? That's his
He's Byron Saxton before Byron Saxton.
Yeah. It's probably about as clear as you can put it, really, isn't it?
Blonde as a chicken breast, mate.
Yeah, so Dick of the Day, Pubic Enemy Award, as it's called now, isn't it?
Tony Schiavone.
Yeah, fair play to him.
Barnet of the Night. There's some contenders on this.
It's not even really a Barnet, but the Public Enemy guy with his bald head as well. That came out of nowhere. That's just what I want to give a little shout out to.
Got that one down. I've got a Sweaty Piper Head.
Yep. Six for his fucking Phoenix Knights look.
Six for his Phoenix Knights look. Yeah, I mean, I think that's got to be the worst. It's almost like Brian, a bit Brian May as well.
It is a bit, isn't it? Yeah, it is a little bit. Yeah, so he's got to go to six, isn't it? He's lucky to escape fucking Dick of the Day, isn't he, really? But Schiavone had an all-timer tonight.
Oh, God, fucking woeful. I mean, when you've got hair that curly, just probably best to keep it, you know, shortly cropped.
Yeah.
So, onward to Uncensored we go. The next show up for us is the 24th of February, Nitro. And we're going to be doing a few bonus bits. And obviously, we're going to be nipping over to 97 WWF as we get into the month of March for Mania 13. Is
97? Is it not? Yeah, it's 13. Yeah, it's Bret and Austin, isn't it?
Yeah, we ain't missing that shit.
No, definitely not.
But it's been good to get back in the saddle, and we will be back to regularly scheduled programming forthwith. So, as always, if you want to interact with us on Twitter, it's at AdjectivePod on the Big X. If you want to subscribe to us on Spotify, give a good old Alex Wright missile dropkick on the subscribe button, turn your notifications on, all that jazz, and you'll download the podcast straight away without having to faff about. If you want to leave us a review on Spotify, we will take anything as it comes these days. If you want to give us a five-star Davey Meltzer, even a five-star Kenneth Omega and his new rating system. If you want to give us one of them, we will be more than happy. But if you want to just give us anything, go for it. We'll take it. We'll take what we can get, even if it's restraining orders these days.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like you said, we've not been very active recently, but that's down to a few things, you know, holidays and what have you and things like that. But we're going to be getting back on the saddle now going forward, aren't we?
That's it. Jack the Ripper's been more active than us recently, to be fair. He's been dead about 150 years. So.
Yeah, but I think we'll be back now. Now we've got this one boxed off, we're ready to go again. Get back on the journey.
Yep. All malfunctions have been settled. All holidays have been done. Yep. All illnesses have hopefully been done. Because tell you what, if my sinuses give me any more shit, I'm going to chop my nose off. Give it an old Michael Jackson Skeletor. Right.
Dick the Cola. Jamal.
Right. Is there any further business, Mark?
No, nothing else to report.
Right. In that case, I will say those infamous two words, Rey Mysterio.
Cheerio.
The preceding podcast gimmick, it was paid for by Look at the Adjectives.